So the reading's taken from John chapter 3, which is on page 1065 of the Church Bibles, 1-21. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replies, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asks. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answers, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." This is the word of the Lord.
It's been a bit of a learning curve for me, figuring out how to a useful present whilst Lucy, my wife, has been giving birth. This has happened 4 times, so I've had some practice. First time round, I would describe my general approach as like being a hovering, anxious presence. And so, super keen, eager to do the right thing. I would say by number 4, and Lucy can maybe back this up, I figured out that basically what Lucy really wanted was for me to be there, but to have no input at all. And so that's kind of what I did. I just sat on the side and made encouraging grunts from time to time whilst I got on with a bit of work or admin or something. I don't know what Nicodemus expected when he approached Jesus that evening. Nicodemus is he's a part of the Jewish ruling council. He's rich, he's powerful, he's part of the kind of system that Jesus had just so fiercely criticized. You remember when he went in and kind of turned the tables over in the temple? That's Nicodemus. I don't know what he expected when he approached Jesus, but I'm pretty sure he did not expect to be talking about birth quite as much as they did. Jesus referred 5 times to the need to be born and born again. What's he getting at? Well, one thing that I remember with the birth of each of our 4 children is some of us will have had the privilege of this experience as well, but you hold a baby for the first time. And I always remember thinking, wow. And there are 2 things which always kind of come into my mind. The first is, this is a gift. Okay, we deserve this. I haven't done anything to earn it, it's just pure gift. And then the other one is, this is a miracle. Okay, I don't mind what anyone else says, but it's just been, they're growing, and now here it is, a whole new life, a whole new personality into the world. It's a gift, and it's a miracle. And this is the metaphor, or the analogy, that Jesus wants to use to explain to Nicodemus the nature of the problem that we have and what Jesus has come to do about it. Okay, he says, you must be born again. So what does he mean? Well, a couple of things. Here's the first. You must be born again, he says. That's how deep your problem is. Now, if I say Nicodemus, he's part of a hierarchy, and he looks as if he's coming in earnest. But I don't think he actually is. Do you see what he says when he first arrives? This is verse number 2. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who's come from God. No one could perform the signs that you're doing if God were not with him. And it's a little bit like, yada, yada, yada. Here's some flattery. But really, the key words in this sentence is, we know. So here's a guy from the establishment saying, look, it's important that, you know, we give you some recognition and that we give you the kudos. Nicodemus kind of breezes in with the kind of happy authority that he has always been used to in life as a representative of the upper echelons of the kind of religious hierarchy of Jesus' time. But it becomes pretty clear that maybe he's not as genuine as maybe he first seemed. So Jesus says in verse 11, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. Right? And as Jesus goes on, he says some very striking things. Very truly, he says to Nicodemus, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And Nicodemus is like, you're what? That doesn't make any sense. And Jesus repeats the point. Very truly, in other words, I'm in absolute earnest, I tell you, verse 5, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Okay, he's saying something like this. Nicodemus, your privilege, your position, the authority that you're used to exerting, none of these things can bring you into the kingdom. Okay, you think you're at the pinnacle. You're literally part of the ruling council of the Old Testament people. Even that doesn't do anything to bring you into the kingdom. You must be born again. Why is that? Well, it's because Nicodemus, all of us, have a problem that's much deeper than we realize. And especially if you come from a privileged background and you're used to be seen moral and respectable and authoritative, it's very hard for you to see this. And that's why Jesus wants to expose it. We've got a deep problem. Just look how the writer of this gospel puts it at the end of this passage in verse 19 and 20. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Right, that is, by the way, exactly what the kind of religious authorities of Jesus' day actually did. Right, like Jesus come into the world, and what do? They push him away because he's exposing something that's wrong in their heart. Which is why Jesus says, look, Nicodemus, you don't realize how bad it is. Okay, you need to be born again. Maybe an analogy might help to kind of bring this point to life. So imagine if I take myself down to the Leander Club this week. Okay, and some of you are involved in rowing. And I said, just thought I'd try out for the Olympic sport, actually. And they look at me, and they put me on an erg, and I'm kind of, okay, they see that I'm short and probably a bit skinny, and And they put me on an erg and they look at my time. And then the coach says to me, "Sam, we appreciate your enthusiasm. However, if you were ever to have a hope of being part of the Olympic squad, you would need to be born again." Now, I'm not going to take that as an encouraging statement. It would be basically saying, look, Sam Brewster and Olympic rowing are fundamentally incompatible. That's what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. People, fallen people, no matter how religious you think you are, and the kingdom of God are fundamentally incompatible, such that you would need to be born again if you had any chance of belonging to God's kingdom. It's a very strong point that Jesus is making, isn't it? And if you're thinking like, this is making me feel a bit uncomfortable, well, think how uncomfortable it must have made Nicodemus feel. This guy has been like absolutely at the top, thinking, goodness me, if all the things that I've done don't qualify me for the kingdom, then what on earth does? And Jesus is so clear. But not only does he say, you must be born again, he also says, and there's nothing you can do to achieve that yourself. And so you see what he says in verse 6. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Yeah, that you can do that as people. You can do the actual giving birth thing, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. In other words, it's an act of God. You shouldn't be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. In other words, Nicodemus, you are used to being in control of everything in your life. But this is one thing that you cannot control. It's like the wind. On Friday, I got an email from the Henley Park Run organisers saying Park Run cancelled this week because of the wind. We're worried that it's going to kind of blow branches down onto the course. That's the thing about the wind. You can't see it, but you can see its effect. You can't control it. And that's what Jesus is saying. You can't control being born into the kingdom. You can't, it's not something you can achieve yourself. Goodness me, you can see the effects when it happens, as a life gets totally transformed, but it's not something that you can control yourself. It's deeply humbling, deeply humbling. So that's the first point that Jesus makes. You must be born again. That's how big your problem is. But he doesn't finish there. He goes on to say, wonderfully, you can be born again. That's how big God's love is. Now, Nicodemus kind of fades out in verse 9 with the words, how can this be? Okay, he still doesn't really get it. But as Nicodemus kind of fades out, Jesus fades in, already kind of comes to the foreground. You see verse 11, his authority. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But certain people don't accept our testimony. Look at verse 13. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. In other words, he's saying, look, I really do know what I'm talking about. I come from heaven itself. So when I say you've got to be born again, when I say this is how it works, it really does work like that. My authority. But he also talks about his sacrifice. He carries on in verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that anyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. A slightly kind of obscure reference to a bit of the Old Testament where the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness before entering the promised land, and there's like a plague of snakes. The kind of thing that only really happens in the Old Testament. There's a plague of snakes, and the people are just like beside themselves, like, what are we going to do about this? And God gives a provision to Moses, who's leading the people at that time, and says, look, okay, here's a model snake, okay, bronze serpent, put it up on a pole, and all the people have to do is show an act of faith and trust in me. Come to that lifted pole and they're going to be delivered. Okay, it's not so much the bronze serpent itself, it's more the act of faith that they have to show in God's provision. That's the thing that leads to their healing. And Jesus now says, look, that's a picture of what I've come to do. Not a bronze snake on a stick, but I myself will be lifted up on the cross. I'll die there for you, so that, as he says here, anyone who believes in me can have eternal life. John, the gospel writer, explains what he means by this in one of the most famous verses in the Bible, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Isn't this the most wonderful thing? Right, so he says to Nicodemus, hard truth, you can't do it. You have to be born again to be part of the kingdom. And yet you can be born again because of Jesus. It's a hard word in that most famous verse in the Bible that often we kind of brush over, that word perish. Whoever believes in him should not perish, because that is where our sin leads us. Or in verse 17, condemned. That's where our sin leads us. And yet, Jesus on the cross, he's lifted up, he perishes for us. He's condemned for us. So that we just have to trust in him, and what happens? Eternal life. Or to use the language that he's already been using to Nicodemus, you are born again, given new life in him. Right, you must be born again. That's how bad it is. You can be born again because that's how big God's love you is. God so loved the world that whoever believes in him. And again, that's a challenge to Nicodemus. He's the gatekeeper. He's the one who says, you're in, you're out. And Jesus says, that is not how it's going to be from now on. Anyone who comes to me can receive this as a gift. Well, let's draw things together. Where does that leave us? Well, do you remember where we started? New baby in your hands. It's a miracle. And it's a gift. And both words just sum up so well everything that Jesus is teaching Nicodemus here. Right, this new birth, this new life that Jesus offers, it's a miracle. Jesus says it's like being born again. It's using imagery from Ezekiel when it says, by the water and the Spirit. And Ezekiel saw this kind of valley of dry bones, okay, lifeless, dead. And then there's this prophecy saying, speak. And then the Spirit comes, and then this flesh that gets put on them, and then a whole army kind of rises up from death to life, a whole new birth. And these promises, they've been fulfilled in Jesus. And Jesus is saying, that's what I've come to do. I've not come just to kind of strap on some kind of religious activity to your life. I've come to totally transform you. Okay, to bring you from death to life. A whole new kind of you. It's a miracle. And it's a gift. Okay, you can do nothing except acknowledge your need of a Savior and receive him. And that's the offer at the heart of the good news. It's this. Receive the gift and become the miracle. Because so often we think that the Bible and Jesus, it's a kind of program of moral improvement. It's not. It's the offer of a gift that will lead to the miracle of new life in you. Isn't that an amazing thought? A whole new kind of you through Jesus. Totally recreated, such that you are no longer incompatible with the kingdom of God. But you are welcomed as a child of God into his eternal kingdom, now and forever. And you know, the Spirit who comes into your life and he renews you, he changes the things that you care about. He changes you from at the very depths of your personality so that you become more and more like Jesus. It's a miracle. You become the miracle that he works in you. And that's what our witness is all about as God's people, right? Our job is to hold out the gift of Jesus so that he might do his miracle in people's lives. We've had a new archbishop appointed this week. Let's pray for her. Because the job of the Church of England, the job of any bishop or any minister, is not to comment on every political or social issue as if our real job is to be the kind of moral policeman of the nation. That's not our job. Our job is to hold out the gift of Jesus so that people in our nation might receive his miracle of new birth in their lives. If you want a transformed nation, and it really feels like we need it, how does that happen? Does it happen if we go out as the moral policeman? No, of course not. It happens as Jesus transforms one person at a time through his free grace and gospel. Which is why the most powerful thing that any of us can do is keep holding out Jesus, holding out the gift so that he can do the miracle. And what's true for our witness? Of course, that's true for us personally. Okay, your deepest need today is not to try harder. It's not to become more religious, not to engage more deeply with so-called spirituality. Your greatest need is to keep receiving Jesus and allowing him to do this miracle in your life as well. Jesus is so clear. You must be born again. Well, praise God, we can be born again because of all that he's done for us. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for this message of grace. It's humbling, and yet, Lord Jesus, you have done everything to offer us this new life. And we pray that we would have the humility to receive what you are offering, and so to step into that new life with Jesus. And we ask it for his name's sake. Amen.